Blog Talk Radio.
Live
deliverance.com. Yes, sir.
I'm so sorry, Pastor Steve. I don't want to interrupt, but I have to announce it to make to your listening audience.
All righty, sir. Go ahead.
Pastor Steve, you've been knowing me for 25 years, and I'm saying it live with you, with your people, because you're my brother. In honor of Pastor Wang C. Thompson, I ask everybody to please, beginning tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm going to be putting in Pastor Wang C. Thompson's sermons from the 86. Pastor Steve, okay, as a brother in the Lord, would you please, out of anybody, you've been knowing him longer than me, and I ask you as a brother in Christ to introduce him before I put a sermon on tomorrow, please.
At what time are you going to do that?
Ooh. Whatever time you tell me.
Okay. Because the next two weeks I'll still be at work. I get off. I would be here by, oh, geez, I got a meeting at 5 o'clock. Meeting will be over at 6:15.
What time do you want me on Blog Talk with Pastor Wang tomorrow? Because you're going to introduce him. If you ain't coming in there, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I'll be free at 6:15, and that'll be good. I don't have a problem with that. If that's good, then for the next couple of days.
I can put him on air. You're going to be with me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 6:15?
Wednesday. Yeah, and you're going to introduce him at that point. Yeah, I can introduce him. I won't be able to stay on. I'll come back.
I want you to come back too and talk. Yeah, but if you can come back after he get off teaching or how long you've been knowing him, just introduce him.
Thursday won't be good this week because I'll be ministering again Thursday.
On Blog Talk?
No, I'll be on a Zoom call.
Okay, so Thursday I can do it.
Okay.
So tomorrow at 6:30,
I'll be glad
that's
to do
okay?
That. Okay.
Okay. Ladies, everybody, Pastor Wang C. Thompson week at 6:30 tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. We're going to do it for 4 days in honor of Pastor Wang C. Thompson. Pastor Steve, introduce him through his sermons. God bless you, Steve. I love you. I felt in my spirit to do it. I love him, and God had him heavy on my spirit today, and I've been just praying heavy for him.
Amen. That's not a problem. I'm glad to do that.
You got the mic, Steve. I'm sorry to interrupt. You had a mic.
That's not a problem.
See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow at 6:30. Yeah, man.
Thank you, sir.
I'm gonna be listening.
Praise the Lord.
I need to get to bed.
Amen. Amen. That's good. So again, make yourself available for those teachings, as that is the father of my faith, that basically instructed me and corrected me along the way, so that I can become the man that he has desired us all to be, a servant of God, a son of God, that is committed to the word of God. So if you would just join me in your hearts with the word of prayer, we'll get into the ministry for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healings and deliverance break forth in this time because of your spirit, your word, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, again, the subject topic would be the pursuit of faith. This will be part three. And God has just been growing this over and over, multiplying this in my spirit as we started, because I'm finding that there are people that are participating in the walk of Christ not being armed effectively. They end up doing what we refer to as faith accidents. And because of that, they just stay in that realm of really not having the assurance that faith works. They have the hope that faith works, but they don't have the assurance. And so I asked the question, what is faith to you? And as I asked that question, basically the people would give us some pat answers, you know, and they would just, you know, say, well, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is. And we're going to get to that, because we shouldn't take scripture out of its setting and then try to apply it just like that. We should let the word of God abide in our hearts so that when we speak from a position of intimacy. Because Jesus is the one that said, if you continue in my words, then are you disciplined or my disciples indeed in what you do. Not just, yes, yes, you're my disciples. You'll be my disciples in what you do. And because you are my disciples in what you do, you will know or become intimate with the truth. And the truth that you are intimate with will cause freedom, will cause deliverance. The devil is trying to cause us to be locked up, tied up, frustrated, so that we do not walk in faith. We just walk in, again, a great hope, which is not horrible, okay? I get that. But we should be those that can reproduce the results, because Jesus said, not only will you do these things, you will do greater things than I do. So then, there was not a day, beloved, that Jesus did not walk in faith. So then if we're going to do greater things than he did, we're going to have to learn to walk in faith for even that statement to work in our lives. I mean, amen. See, because a lot of times we are still trying to qualify for that which has already been given to us. See, and that's not going to, that's just going to frustrate you. Okay, so then when I ask God, well, what do I say faith is? Because, beloved, please know that that's why I talk to God, is so I can hear. I don't talk to him so that I can preach. There are people that will try to prepare sermons so that they can titillate ears, but I ask God questions about his word so that I can live. Okay, that would be my difference right there. And when I asked God that, he said, faith is a language and currency exchange of the kingdom of heaven given to man. I'll say that again so that those of you who were not here last time can hear that. He said that faith is a language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to man. Faith is also, yes, the support structure. It is a stance or position. Faith is your starting point and your finish line. It says this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from that time, Jesus went about saying, he went about doing what? He went about saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't just try to say it one time. It says he went about saying. This means this was a redundant conversation, something that is repeated over and over and over again. Why? Because he wants us to get that. Faith is a language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven. Faith is also the container and the conveyor of hope, both collectively or individually. Because when Jesus was walking the earth, everything he did was by faith, but it was an individual dispensation. There were not many other people dispensing faith. That's why it says in Acts 10:38, it says, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He ordained his apostles, 70, so that they would go before him into the places that he would go, and they would preach the gospel. That was their instruction. See? And as they preached the gospel, they were commanded to heal the sick, raise the dead. I mean, come on, y'all. See, Jesus gave us great authority so that we can finish the work that he required us to do. But a lot of times we've been trained, taught that we cannot approach that level of faith. Then why does the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he has given to every man the measure of faith? And people will say, well, that's saving faith. I won't argue that point. I will only try to expand it, because salvation means deliverance. Okay? That's why when he says in Colossians that he has translated us out of the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of his dear son. He has translated us, moved us from the dark, confused positions of thought, heart, and execution to the place where we can live as he, that's what he says, as I am, so is he. As we are, so is he in this world. See, we're not trying to live below the places that we've been called, the station of life. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. He's raised us up. Let's try it this way. He's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places. So then my question would become, why are you trying to live below the place you have been ordained to live? God asked me that question. He says he wants me to live from the place I've been seated in. See? He's raised me up and made us sit together with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. That's flat out how it's written. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay? So then since that's a truth that the word of God has opened up unto us, we need to walk in that. This has to be the pursuit of faith. See? So then when you understand faith is the language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to man. Why did God say it that way? Because everything that we should receive from heaven should be received through the avenue of faith. See? It's not, and faith, I found, is not just words that I say. In fact, here are some things to think about. Since God is a multifaceted being, everything that is a part of him is also multifaceted. So the one definition approach to faith cannot give us a full understanding. Because God is alive and his word is alive. Therefore, faith must also be alive. It must be active. And when you have this faith, it is unstoppable, both on earth and in heaven. See, so I would like to uncouple some of the thinking that of this one definition approach to faith. See, we need to prepare our hearts for the spectacular year of the Lord. See? We need to come out of the place where we were underneath the calling that he placed on us. Did he not call us to walk in all? Okay? Did he not prepare us to walk in all? All things are possible to them that believe. He's going to supply all our needs, trying to prepare our heart and the mind that Christ is developing, which is his mind in us, so that all can be accomplished by us. The way I understand all is all does not leave out anything. All means all, and that's all it means. So then, since we are invited to sojourn in the land of promise, because in him all of the promises in him are yes, and all of the promises in him are amen. So he's trying to prepare us for all. That's why every tongue, every knee, he's trying to get us to think from a different perspective. All takes all limitations away. Okay, but in our thinking, sometimes we would read scripture and think that's for the elite. Well, beloved, you are now the elite. Amen. See, you've been invited into the greater. So then there should not be times in your life where this word that has been sent, Jesus was tempted and tried, the devil thought he was going to win, and Jesus simply said, it is written. Okay? In other words, this is what I would say, my vernacular way I would say it. If you want to talk about it, talk to God, because it's too late, it's written. See? What's written, he's not going to alter the thing that has come forth out of his mouth. He will not alter it. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See? Once he has said a thing, that is the thing. It is established from that point on, because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, and it's not over till he said it's over. He's the beginning and the end. And you know what? He is both of them at the same time. Yes, he is. He's the beginning and the end. I'm glad he didn't just say it, he's the beginning to the end. He's still the beginning and he's still the end. So then once I understand how that word was sent to me, it was sent to me complete, the Bible says, because you are complete in him. So that word was sent to heal and deliver. It was complete. There was nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. See? He's the one that's, he is El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. See? I mean, that's why God had to do things in seasons and on purpose so that we would begin to understand how great our God is. He told Moses, he said, well, this is what we're going to do. You have not known me by my name Jehovah. You've only known me by the name of the Lord God Almighty, and that's good. Amen. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. So now I'm going to show you that I am Jehovah Nissi. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Sitkanu. See, I'm going to manifest myself through a name that you didn't know before. And he did it again when Jesus came, because the name Jesus is the name that is above every name. See? It's God with us. It's not just the God that we pray to. I appreciate being an understanding and walking in. He's the God that we pray to. But he's going to get bigger and better. He's going to now be God with us. That's Emmanuel. He is that very present help in the time of trouble. He didn't just say, come on, let's look at it, and you're going to find out some of these things today. He's the very present help right there when trouble is. He's a what kind of help? Very present. He's not an off in the sky, ethereal kind of God. He is very present. See? So then when you know, understand, and perceive that he's very present and he's there to help in the time of need, in the time of trouble, then I should not leave there just so that I understand it. If he's there as a help when trouble's there, I should not leave with the same trouble. Otherwise, it didn't make sense for him to be a very present help so that trouble can be removed. I'm trying to break it down so that we can see it. Because a lot of times we'll say things like we know God is able. He didn't say he was just the God that is able. He said he was a very present help. I love the way he speaks. See, because once we grasp that, walk in that, have illumination of the heart concerning that, then we'll be able to expect the thing that he said to happen. See? We're not just, this is not pie in the sky. See, this is some ham where I am, some steak on my plate. See, because he's a very, he didn't just say he is a present help. He said he is a very, the adjective that he put to the word very tells us that it is bigger than the moment that I'm facing. Because the moment that I'm facing is simply the moment that I'm facing. But he is a very present help. I'm hoping you're getting this. He's more than enough. Okay? So then when we begin to push into the promise of God, his presence is manifest, which answers the problem. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, I think it's verse 17, that the word was present to heal. So Jesus is the word. And that's a very present help in time of trouble. He's present to heal. He's not, I appreciate the way we think, but he said the word was present to heal. It did not say the word was present to comfort. That would be good. But he said the word was present to heal. Glory to God. I mean, open up what the word says so that I can then enjoy the fruit of what the word or what the promise gave me. Okay? Because he's not joking, he's not lying, he's not kidding, just saying things so that they sound good. He means exactly what he said. That's why he said faith is a language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to men. See? So then if I don't get that understanding that the language of faith... See, when I know that it is a language, then there are things that the language requires, doesn't it? Let's go back into your school days. We'll go all the way back to the elementary school. When you had elementary school and the teachers would try to get you to participate in what they called language arts then. I love it. I hadn't thought about this stuff. Language arts. They're giving you, through language, the ability to create language arts, the ability to form language arts. The first thing they did in that exercise of giving you to understand the language of faith. They gave the language of English. They gave you vocabulary exercises. Amen. They would say things to you, teach you how to pronounce it, teach you what it meant, and then they began to go through the language arts part of it. It's causing you to construct words, sentences that would then be able to be understood by other people in your community, your classmates, and they would be able to grade you on these language. This is exactly what it's called, language arts. I mean, I love that. See, because you didn't know, they gave you the same thing God gave you. He gave you the ability to be a Rembrandt with your tongue. Glory to God. He gave you the ability to be a Rembrandt with your tongue. Paint, the Bible says, my tongue is the a pen of a ready writer. He wants you to create with your tongue, with your mouth. See, because you were made in his image. You have, the Bible says, a speaking spirit. See? And what you should be speaking is life, according to that which will please God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love whichever one they love, they will eat the fruit of it, the increase of it, the produce from it. See? So he wants you to be, he's asking you to be a Rembrandt with your tongue, a Michelangelo with your tongue. And here we are participating in kids' play with our tongue, not saying what he said through the power of what he put in the word. We're just saying how we feel. See, language communication can be understood multiple ways. It can be understood through attitude, emotion. It can be understood from there. That's not the best place, but it is still something that we did. Communication through words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, emotion, participation, and understanding. See? Faith is responding and released through all seven of those ways: words, actions, attitudes, beliefs. I'm gonna give you time to write this down. This is stuff. These are homework assignments, just like they gave you for the vocabulary building tools that they gave you in elementary school. Faith is language by communication through words, through actions, through attitudes, through beliefs, through emotions, participation, and understanding. Okay? I mean, if we won't put ourselves in those types of positions, then we're not growing in faith. Growing in faith would very simply mean that you're growing in your attitudes, your beliefs, your emotions, your actions, your words, your participation and understanding. If you don't understand something, you cannot participate in that something. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not participating through understanding. God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. He said, go get the understanding. He is already cognizant that when he says something to us, we got a thick brain and we probably didn't get it. We got a stiff neck and we probably won't look at it. But he says, and all you're getting, get understanding. See? I mean, he's trying to give us the avenues whereby victory can be executed every time. Every time. Okay? So then we need to use the language of faith, the exchange currency from the kingdom of heaven given to us. We need to learn to use that effectively. See, God always speaks by faith in faith. He can use the prophetic unction to do it. And a lot of times we didn't get that. We hear a prophetic word and think it was a practical word, and we try to put it in play now. Well, no, you haven't built up the faith to release that word, to agree with that word, because these communication structures happen through actions, attitudes, beliefs, and emotion. See, if you don't line them up, that's why the Bible teaches us that you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you have the wrong attitude. You have the wrong heart disposition, that you may consume it upon your lust. So he's has to work on the reason why we said the thing. Not just what we said, but why we said it. Was I saying it out of pride? Then God resists the proud. See? So then I've got to go check. Where's my heart in this, Lord? Am I doing it for revenge? He said, really? Revenge is mine. Why are you trying to get it? See? I'm the one that will repay. You can leave that alone. And God, we got the understanding when Samuel was looking for David. And he said, no, y'all look at the outer man. God looks at the heart. So then every word, so that you can just get this and align yourselves accordingly, every word you speak has a position of the heart connected to it. See? So that if I'm speaking in unbelief, God doesn't answer unbelief. He rewards faith. He doesn't reward emotion. That's why he tells you to bring your emotions under submission to the word of God. Did he give you emotion? Yes, he did. He did not want you to be led by emotions. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See? So he's not asking you to be emotional as you try to walk, as you try to walk out his plan and his purpose. You're going to have to submit your emotions to the word of God, one, to the Spirit of God, two, to the Father God, three. Because these three agree, the Father, the Word, the Spirit. And so we'll just say, well, you know, I'm agreeing with what I know about God. Well, what did the Word say about that? Well, I'm just agreeing with what the words say about this. Well, what did the Spirit confirm about that? These are every day, every thought has to be done in the trilogy. Have it to agree with the Word, the Father, and the Spirit. See? And if you don't know that there are three places of confirmation that must happen for that Word to become active, and you're just moving your lips for no reason. See, this is the pursuit of faith. See? Jesus said, yeah, with your heart. This is what he said. He said, with your mouth, you say you worship me. But your heart is far from me. So then why is it that they didn't get what they thought they were supposed to get? Because they were not connected in these three, in the trinity of the position of heart that God wants. He wants your heart to be connected to the Father, to the Son, or the Word, and to the Spirit. Every time, all the time. That's why he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's already done that. So then when I walk according to that word, I agree with that word. I am now agreeing with the Spirit. And the Spirit and the Word always agree with the Father. This is the will of the Father. See? That you would be presented whole. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You live. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. See? So he wants that trilogy of understanding in your spirit, through your body, and through the word. I mean, you got to get these things. These are These are non-changeable, non-negotiable paradigms that we got to walk through. See? It has to be that. There is no other way. If I like it when I see it in the Word, then I say, okay, Father, thank you for revealing that to me. Now I need to align myself with your Spirit, because the Spirit is the power that causes what I saw to come to pass. So I align my spirit now with that Word, and then when I do that, faith is alive, and now I can please my Father. These are the steps, every time, all the time. This is the pursuit of faith, and you have to know that faith is a language. And it is the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven. It comes through words, actions, attitudes, belief, emotions, participation, and understanding. It has been stated that communication, 80% of communication is nonverbal. Wow. 55% of communication is nonverbal. 38 is vocal. And 7 is with words only. So then if I'm only going after the promise of God with just my mouth, I'm only going to come up with 55. I'm only going to come up with 38% of it. Because 55% is nonverbal. That would be attitude, wouldn't it? That would be emotions, wouldn't it? So here I am saying I believe God, saying I trust God, saying I love God, but my heart is not connected to those words. See? I only just say, well, I'm saying what I saw. Yeah, but you haven't connected with it in nonverbal communication. Participation would be a nonverbal execution, wouldn't it? I don't have to say I love you if I don't do what love would do. Amen. See, we've kind of got to grow up here. We're thinking that well, because I said it, I can have whatever I say. No, you can have what you say. When your spirit and the Holy Spirit connect and agree, when your words and the word that is written agree, then when you and the Father agree that this is what the will of God is for you, even your sanctification, go through the process where my spirit agrees, aligns with the Spirit of God, where my heart is connected to the words that I read, my heart is full of them. Then I'm in the place where now that threefold cord cannot be broken. See? This is not a mental exercise. See? It is all of you agreeing with all of God. The Word, the Father, the Spirit. I mean, really, I can just close right now, because most of us don't do that. We didn't understand that it was a language that faith is going to release, and that language is communicated through words, actions, attitudes, belief, emotions, and participation and understanding. See? I mean, otherwise, you know, really, we have not connected with God. We are still connected, if you would, with positive thinking, wishful thinking. Because our spirit is not connected to this process. See? Our mind might be, but the mind contains the things that would be emotional, because I think this is the way I feel. So my emotions and my understanding might be darkened. See? That's what the Bible says, the God of this world has darkened the mind, has blinded the mind. See? So here I am trying to serve God out of my mind. Forget it. It don't happen. He's a triune being. And he's expecting you to allow the transformation in your spirit, in your mind, and in your body. See, your actions, that would be your body, wouldn't it? I love the Lord, and you taking your body to the liquor store to get drunk. You don't love the Lord. Well, I love the Lord, and you laying down committing fornication. No, you don't love the Lord because your body is part of the agreement that God is looking for. Amen. But I love the Lord, and in my mind is thinking about all kind of wicked and perverse things. No, you don't love the Lord. I'm not the one that said that. God said that. Hear this, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one God, and thou shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. See, he didn't say some of it, y'all. So that part of your mind that is thinking about this ungodly stuff, you don't love the Lord the way he said you should. He put the word all in there. Go turn in your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, and you'll know that I didn't put that in your Bible. God did so that you could begin the process of how to win every time. See? Jesus said, I only do the things that I see my Father do. I only do the things that my Father taught me. So when did your Father teach you how to be lustful? When did he teach you that? Jesus said, you follow the lust of your father, the devil. See, it's not what God taught you. See? I'm trying to get us to a place where we can align our hearts, align our mind, align our spirit, and then our body will follow that which we've agreed with. Because we say stuff like, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart is not yet to the place where it loves him. I mean, it's that simple. You don't have to get mad at me. Just repent. Turn your ways. Just say, Lord, you know what? I'm not loving you. I've got lip service. And you told me that those that have lip service, you said they're going to have to hear some things they don't want to hear. Depart from me, because what you did is you worked iniquity. He didn't just say you heard the iniquity. He said you worked it. See? Faith is a language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to man. So then we should use the faith, hone the faith so that our communication will not just be 55% words, sayings, see, because the nonverbal 55% means, just so we get it, doing the math, the nonverbal 55% overcomes and overtakes the verbal 38%. So when I'm saying something that I don't communicate with my actions, with my emotions and participation, my attitude, then I am short 45% of what I thought was going to cause me to win. 55% is nonverbal. So if I'm not working on that, I'm not adding to my faith temperance and adding to temperance knowledge and adding to knowledge virtue, if I'm not the nonverbal things. Temperance would come under the understanding of patience. And if I'm flying off the handle every time somebody does to me something to me that I don't like, then no, I didn't add to my faith virtue, did I? I didn't add to my faith patience, did I? So I'm still in a deficit, if you would, of what it would take to honor God. Because the nonverbal outweighs the verbal. 38% is the best we get from just vocal. See? So at 38%, I do not come to the fullness of faith, do I? Okay, that would help me, beloved, to understand why God asks questions about my position of faith and how it's supposed to be working. I'm saying that I love God who I haven't seen, but I don't love my brother who I see. I just can't understand how that division in my heart is allowed to stay there. How can I still be mad at the man, whoever the man is, be black, be white, be Asian? How can I be mad at the one that's made the image of God to say I love God? God said it can't happen. He says at least love the one you see. I'm gonna change the words from the Isley brothers. It says that you need to love the one you can't love the one you see. See, not love the one you with. You can't be with the one you love. Love the one you with. I remember the song. But see, now we need to see love the one you see. Don't quote that you love the one you can't see. Don't do that. Love the one you see. Love the brother that's in front of you. If you want to know how it goes, the Bible teaches us in Psalms 133, it says that it's a good and pleasant thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there is the place of the commanded blessing, even life forevermore. I can't love the one I see. Forget the commanded blessing. It ain't going to happen. See? Because I'm supposed to love the one I see. Then I can say, God, you showed me. You caused me to have revelation on how to love you. Because if I love them, I'm loving you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And your neighbor as yourself. If I didn't fulfill that part of it, then the other part is erased also. Hear this, O Israel. Know this, that if you can't love your neighbor as yourself, don't come talking about you love me. See? Because the Lord your God is one God. The Lord your God is not a separated God, a separated entity. He made all men in his image after his likeness. Whether they're disobedient or not, he made them in his image. See? And so then it would be the same thing that he's requiring of you, he's requiring of them, that they would begin to communicate through their words, their actions, their attitudes, their beliefs, their emotions, participations, and understanding. The bar is standard across the whole thing. See? That's why he tells us stuff like, love is not taking account of a wrong done. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. So when you harbor unforgiveness, that would be a failing love, wouldn't it? Because love is there to cover a multitude of sin. Love never fails to do that. So at what time could we be so frustrated with a brother that we didn't love? Because I found out that I owe that brother love. I owe it to him. Okay? When I don't pay what I owe, that makes me a robber, does it not? And you know that no robber has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. He says, no robber. So the robber of love would be constituted or written down as a robber, right? Because I owe the man love. I didn't give him the love. I'm now a robber. I am now a thief. I have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. That's in your Bible, beloved. 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it is. That's in your Bible. See? So then because of that, we're going to have to adjust if we say we want faith to work. Because we all know faith works by love. So then I would ask questions. How do you think that this faith that you need to work for, whatever the situation is going to work when love is not working? See? I mean, that's a real question for you every day. Jesus said, offenses are going to come. It's impossible but that offenses are going to come. But woe be by the one who the offenses comes by. And then the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, I don't need to increase your faith. You need to use your faith as you would use the seed of the mustard seed. So I need for you to use it. Apply it when it's necessary. I've given you a commandment that you are supposed to forgive if you have aught against any. That's a commandment. He did not say think about forgiving. He said forgive if you have aught against any. And he attached your faith to that, didn't he? Because if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. He won't hear you. The requirement that you're making, the demand that you're making by faith, forget it. Doesn't work. Because you're not using the forgiveness, the love covering avenue that you have so that your faith will not be blocked. The pursuit of faith, it's a language. And the exchange currency of heaven. All right, we'll go this way. When your parents were teaching you about money and they gave you a dollar and they said you can go to the store and get what you want. And you went to the store and you found out that the cookies were 2 for a penny. And you found out that the potato chips were 10 cents. If you gave the man the dollar and walked away, is that your parents' fault or your fault? Because you didn't understand the currency. You didn't understand the exchange. You thought that you just had to give him something and he would give you something. No, there was a price that was the exchange currency demand that was there. That's why they set the price. Mm-hmm. So then the price that was set on your ability to use faith, the first thing was forgive. So then if you're not, then you haven't learned the exchange. Forgiveness does not get the person off the hook. Forgiveness allows you to have a proper exchange. See? But you didn't learn the exchange. You thought you could get away without the exchange. And so you end up bankrupt because that which you didn't give away or use accurately now causes a deficit in your account, doesn't it? Ooh-wee. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. See? It creates a deficit on your account. And contrary-wise, when you do what the word tells you to do, when you agree with the information that comes from heaven, the inspiration that comes from heaven, then it will be added unto you. Come on, y'all. We go one more. It can even be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here you go. With that in mind, beloved, you can never be at a deficit. Amen. Because God is walking and working to the point of multiplication, and the devil is trying to steal. The way I understand it, stealing is subtraction. God's in the multiplication side of the thing, in the multiplication business, and here you are allowing the devil to steal. You stay in his arena of math. And he's always coming to steal. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And God, being a gentleman, wants to multiply. But since you won't enter into his kingdom, it's the system of exchange, then you're stuck in that deficit. You've been judged and found to be wanting. You've been weighed and found to be wanting. Your balance is always in a deficit. You place demands on the thing God says should be done freely. Oh, come on, Lord. Whew. He said you're supposed to forgive somebody 70 times 7 a day. And you said, nope, I ain't going to do it. So now you are in a deficit. Automatically, nothing works. See? I'm trying to get us to understand how to pursue faith. You've already got the deposit, but we've got a deficit in your account because you choose not to forgive. See, we're supposed to participate in learning the heavenly language. So we must increase our vocabulary building and the intentional proper use of his word. This is what Jesus said. If you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it'll be given you. In other words, you will not be in a deficit, will you? If the word abides in you and you abide in the word, there is agreement between you and the word. There's agreement between you and the Father. There's agreement between you and the Spirit. You live there. That's what the word abide means. It didn't say that you visit there. When you really, really, really need God to do something for you, then you'll think about forgiving. He said, no, if you live there, if this is your address, that you're quick to release. Because you understand that the wrath of man does not work or employ the righteousness of God. So I live in forgiveness now. Okay? Because if I don't, then I'm going to put myself inside of that deficit that causes me to be completely frustrated. I make the life of the word my life. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I make the word my life. And here's a way that you can begin to do that. You can begin to do that one word at a time. We know you don't understand the whole book. Do it one word at a time. Word triggers is what I call that. Learn how to dig in to the word from a different perspective. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it's 12, verse 7, it says this, that every word of God is tried seven ways. All right? Kind of look at that. Go check that out. Psalms 12, 7. Just kind of so that we can get this, see this, how God thinks about it, okay? Verse 6, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 6, 12, 6. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver is tried in the furnace of earth, purified. Seven times. Okay. So this is what I was saying to you about having a word that's not purified or not proved. You heard it and you start blabbing it, but it hasn't worked in you to become a good word, pure word to you. You know, sometimes we think that the word of God is just another word. Confucius say this, and this is just another word. But he said, how many words? Every word of the Lord is tried. Seven, it's purified. It's tried. Listen to that again. Every word, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth. Okay. Where did it say the silver was tried? In a furnace of earth, okay? You are made of the dust of the earth. He didn't say you're made of the dust of the ground. He said you're made of the dust of the earth. And every word of God is tried in this earth vessel. He sends it to you. Then he waits for you to begin to use it. So as you use it, you would prove that it works. It is purified 7 times. Okay? He's just not saying this because it sounded cute. He needs for the word to be established in you. If you're going to live by faith, that would mean that faith has to support you. Is that correct? You're going to live by it. It would have to be your support structure. If you haven't tried it, you're going to be just like David was when Saul wanted him to go out and beat Goliath, and David said, no, I can't take this armor because I haven't proved this armor. I haven't worked with this armor before. Let me go with what I know works for me. It was tried. He had already defeated the bear and the lion by his confidence in God, not his confidence in armor. Okay? So it says, the words of the Lord are pure. They are tried in the vessel of earth 7 times. So then my question would become, have you allowed the word to be proved in your life 7 different ways? That would be a real question. See? Because if you haven't put the litmus test for your life to the word, it doesn't work for you. It'll be just like what happened to the 7 sons of Sceva. They said, we adjure you by this Jesus that Paul preaches. Come out of the man. Next thing you know, they was injured and naked and running. Is that you? Is that your life? Something that you have not allowed to be tested 7 different ways? Selah. See? We do it one word at a time. And you can use those word triggers that would make you think and then say, okay, wait a minute, I've seen that. See, like when you hear or read the word sin, what do you immediately think about? Do you think about the works that you've done and said you fell short? Well, let me give you the primary definition for the word sin. It means to be or to do without a portion. You had half a promise. You didn't have the whole portion. To be without a portion. So then if you're going to be without a portion, then you're going to naturally sin. Why do you sin naturally? Because you don't have the portion that you need. Do you see that? See? It's not something that we were trying to get you to do just because we wanted you to do it. It was because in order to execute that, you had to have your portion. You need the fullness. Isn't that what the Bible says we're supposed to participate in the fullness? See? So here you are without the fullness trying to go. Okay? That's not how it works. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Just want you to see these things. Verse 5 says that every word of God is what? We said pure again, didn't we? And then that word becomes a shield to them that put their trust in him. See? So if the word of God has not been proven to you to be authentic, you cannot have the shield that word is supposed to supply. And since you don't have the shield that word is supposed to supply, you will not be able to put your trust in that word. See? This is what you do. You start the vocabulary process, to build your vocabulary. You do it one word at a time. You take the word and say, okay, wait a minute, let me look at it from seven different ways. See, not just events that he did that was wrong that I didn't like. Sin would be that I'm without a portion. I am weak in that area. And people will say that. They'll say they sin because they are weak. Have you heard that? Okay. They didn't understand that they were sinning because they were functioning without a portion. That's why he asks us, informs us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor. Since the whole armor is available, then I should take it, shouldn't I? Just some Selah moments there. See? So every word of God is pure. It's tried in the furnace of earth seven times. So then if I'm weak, if I haven't proved it, then it cannot be unto me a shield, can it? Amen. See? Things we've got to look at, to understand. Because if we don't understand that, then we're still going to be questioning God, hoping that he will do a thing rather than knowing. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petition that we desire of him. See, this is how faith speaks, if you would. See? Then if I get that process where I'm not just looking at faith as a one-dimensional, one-definition thing. I'm looking at it to, it's what I build my life on. It's what I build my life on. See? So then, if I'm building, Jesus said that he builds his church upon the rock of Revelation. He's building. He didn't say he built, did he? That would be active. See? So then as Jesus is building, I should be conforming or transforming, shouldn't I? Amen. I should be going from glory to glory. If I'm going from glory to glory, then that means that there should be more illumination today than it was yesterday. Because I'm going from glory to glory. That's why God gave them the example of not trying to live off of yesterday's manna. See? He wants us to live off of that which is fresh. And the reason why he would want us to live off of that which is fresh is because then it won't matter what comes against me, because I know that the freshness of my God supplies my need. See? Sufficient is for the day is the evil thereof. So I don't try to live off of yesterday's sufficiency. I live off today's sufficiency. And as I do that, then I'm always looking unto him. I'm not looking unto systems. I'm looking unto him. It doesn't matter if it's a lion or a bear. It doesn't matter if it's a fire or imprisonment. I'm going to have sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. I'm going to live in the sufficiency of my God. See? It's going to be fresh. I'm looking for him to do the new thing in me, for me, through me. But I know he's going to do one thing. Always calls me to triumph. Give me the victory. See? That keeps me in the place where it doesn't matter if the mountains are full of people coming against me. Then he will open my eyes and he will show me that there's more with me than against me. That there will be flaming chariots of fire all about. It didn't say just in the mountain. It said all about the mountain. See? And then I'll be getting to allow my heart to be enlarged so that it doesn't matter that what's coming against me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I start looking for, have an expectation of the greater always showing up. See? That's why in the book of Acts, he told them that great grace was upon them all. It didn't say grace was upon them all. That would have been nice. But he said great grace was upon them all. We have to begin to expand our thinking, because our heart's position is always looking for the fresh. See? Always have an expectation of the fresh. And then as I get those word triggers and I begin to just go over them and practice them and look at them, then I begin to get phrases. See? He says stuff like, walk in the Spirit. So then I begin to look up all those phrases of walk in. Walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. So then that tells me that as I'm looking for those phrases now, I build up my faith in those phrases. Not only the words that are individual and separate, because I'm looking at them from different, but now I can look at the phrase when he says, walk, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See? I start understanding that he's expanding the thing that he wants me to look at to do. See? Because he said things like this to Abraham. He says, look now, as far as you can see, all of the stars that's in the heaven, I've given you this same number for your seed. Tell you what, count the sands of the sea if you can. Because that's, I'm trying to expand your thinking. See? That's what he's always interested in you doing. If you live off of yesterday's victory, you're stuck with yesterday's victory because now you put God in the box. But when he says, look up, count the stars. Look down. And he gave him two different directions to look at. And both of them increased his faith. When he yet had no son that he was going to use as the heir. Look up, look down. He told him also, look all around. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the river Euphrates goes. He said, look, I'm opening this up to you. He gave Joshua an expanded understanding. He says, every place the soles of your feet shall tread, I've already given it to you. Notice he said, every place they shall tread. He didn't even say, every place your feet have tread. Glory to God. He's always expanding the thing. If we would look at what he wants us to do, we understand the language of faith. See? We looked at one word at a time, then one phrase at a time. We would hear the action and the command of the text. See? The first time we heard it, we didn't hear the command and action of it. See? We just heard it. But then we said, oh, wow, that meant this. That meant this. That opens up that. Because God is trying to give, and he's the God of increase. See? So then I begin to have that expectation from him. I live where the word is planted, knowing that the word that's planted is going to become fruitful. Amen. Amen. See? The word that's planted becomes fruitful. I began to be like the children of Israel when they went to spy out the land. And they were gone for 40 days. And it says that they cut off of one stem a group of grapes, and that group of grapes lasted 40 days in the desert, so that when the children of Israel didn't go see it, were looking at it, they were saying it was good fruit. Help me out. 40 days in a dehydrating condition, and it was still good. It says that they took this one cluster of grapes, and it was held between two men on their shoulders. My God, do you see the size of that one cluster? It took two men to carry it, and they carried it for 40 days, and it was still fresh. He's always trying to expand our understanding. Okay? So then we've got to stop limiting God to our yesterday experience and then put him in the box and say, this is the only way he can move. See, I go to the scripture and I see the action or the command in that text. See? This is how I now frame my tomorrow. I frame my tomorrow by the promise of the Ancient of Days. See? I frame my life by him that has promised. Because he's faithful that promised. See? These are the things I'm trying to get you as we pursue faith. That I become to the, in the place where I don't think limitedly. I go back and address all things are possible to him that believes. See, the language of faith can either be covered or uncovered. It can even be discovered. Covered, I'm not going to grow. Uncovered, I will still investigate. Discovered, it now becomes mine because whoever finds the thing can live by the thing, can live in the thing. Amen. That's the way it's always been. If you discover an island, you can live on the island. If you come up on something that was already discovered, you have to go to the person that discovered it to see if you can have permission to live there. But if you discover it, it opens up to you. Okay? So a promise can be covered, unbelief, uncovered. Now you have a revelation of it, or it can be discovered. It can be locked up, locked out, locked in, or locked away. This is how the word works. If you put yourself on the outside never thinking that you can get in, then that's locked up and you are locked out. Or if you're going to try to make sure that it happens this way all the time, now it's locked in. If you're going to put it off for another day, it's now locked away. Okay? Did he not say now faith is? See, he's warning us to expand the place of our habitation. The way it says it in Isaiah 54. Expand the place of our habitation. You're supposed to be there. Now, since you're there, expand that place. Stretch forth your curtains or the what you're looking at. See, your curtains would have the understanding of what you see or what you can't see. He said, stretch forth your curtains. Look bigger than where you're standing. Look bigger than where you've been. Did he not tell us forgetting those things that are behind? So that would help me to understand that he's asking me to enlarge the place of my dwelling, and stretch forth the curtains of my habitation. See? So when people are trying to get me to look at my past and all the things I had to go through, and he said, please, 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 Stevie, expand that, stretch that forth. Pull up your stakes, Stevie, so I can give you more. Okay? That would be a better use and application of pursuing faith. See, God is bigger than our yesterday. Without forgetting our yesterday. See, I'm going to give you every place the soles of your feet shall tread upon. I'm going to give that to you. Well, that means that when I see it and I walk on his mind, no, you have to expand your curtains. See, stretch forth, reaching unto. Again, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth for the high prize. Let's not limit ourselves by thinking that the God that we serve has to be found in yesterday's application. The God that we love has to be found in the ancient ways that he's always done it. You don't have always done it. Jesus did not do the same miracle twice. He still healed people. He still set them free. God is bigger than the box that we want to put him in. And he wants us to come to the place that we will, with all saints, understand what is the breadth, height, length. So we're going to have to understand that to the place where we go past our understanding. Because that's where he is found. He is found in the place of discovery as he leads you to newer, higher, better, and bigger. He always goes before us, and his sheep hear his voice in the destiny. His sheep understand his will in the promise. Not in the promised, in the promise. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you that you are causing us to grow up in you, to become those that follow you into places where we don't understand, because you're going to give us the understanding that's necessary. You're calling us into the faith as we pursue faith. You're calling us into that promised land that we will be able to then enjoy good at your hand. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies that's causing us to experience victory over every situation, circumstance that the devil could ever set up. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, again, I if there are any comments or questions about the ministry today, you will give you an opportunity to voice those so that we can all grow by thereby, because it says that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. So we give you the opportunity to release those things into our hearing. Any comments or questions about the ministry today that you have? Amen. Glory to God. So then, with that being said, if there are no comments or questions about the ministry, then I would like to, again, I'll tell you that if the ministry has been a blessing to you, and if the Lord lays it on your heart, which he should, for you to be a blessing to this ministry, then you can just go to livesanddeliverance.com. And find the donate tab. And then as you find the donate tab, just be a blessing and sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, because that's what keeps us on the air, is your free will offerings and gifts that you sow in faith so that we would be able to receive them and pray over them and cause God to bless them and give increase Because as you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver, and is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you will always and under all circumstances have more than enough for every good work and charitable donation. Again, we thank you for being on the call tonight here at LiveDeliverance.com. Again, my name is Pastor Steve Lee. And until the next time that we are gathered together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he give you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time that we get together, be blessed.